And welcome to Radio Book Club on Big Cabbage Radio 89.7. I'm Judy Getty, and I'll be hosting the show today. My usual May guest is Katie Schweisthal, the children's librarian from Palmer Public Library, but unfortunately she is under the weather and not able to join me. But I have in the studio with me several people who are going to talk about reading, and in particular the summer reading program at the library. So, why don't you all say hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello there.
So, I have with me Cal is my young adult reader who will be sharing some of his information about books he reads and just talking about reading in general. And also, he's been a volunteer with the summer reading program, so we're going to talk about that first. I also have Roan, and then I have Carly, and I have Haley. So I'm so glad you could all join me, and we'll get to you in just a minute. But I want to start with the summer reading program. So Callum, is there anything that you can tell us? I know it's starting June 4th this year. What is the summer reading program at the library?
It's a program for kids and young adults and adults also to join together and read to earn prizes weekly and to just advance their reading skills and to just have something to do during the summer.
So you've been a volunteer there, and anything that you can observe or talk about with, you know, people coming in, are they excited about the program, getting prizes?
If you have a motivator like the prizes for the little ones, they definitely want to start reading more and more, and they want to keep doing it more and more.
So you see kids come in and they are pretty happy that they, you know, read X number of books or X number of pages, and they got to that next level and they earned that prize.
They are very excited to do that.
Okay. And then the library also does like special events too, right? Like,
there's a large event at the end of the summer reading program. It's a huge picnic celebrating everyone's progress through the program. There's games, prizes, food. That's pretty much the only event that I can remember.
Okay, and so you've attended that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and families come out for it and
yes.
Enjoy that? Okay. And Katie just wanted the listeners to know that if you want more information, you can certainly go to the Palmer Public Library site and get more information about the reading program. And, of course, come into the library to get signed up and to learn more about the program. Okay, so let's start with Carly. Carly, how old are you?
I'm 8.
You're 8? Okay. And so you're going into what grade?
Fourth
grade. And how long have you been a reader? Since first grade or even before first grade?
Like second.
Second grade you started enjoying reading? Okay. Do you have some favorite books that you want to talk about?
Greetings from Somewhere.
Okay. So say the name of it again.
Greetings from Somewhere.
Okay. So tell us about those books.
They're mysteries and they're really interesting.
So does it have a main girl character or a main boy character?
They have both. They're twins.
Oh, okay. So they're a brother and a sister, and they have these adventures that they have to go on, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you brought a book with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that one of the stories?
Uh-huh. This is my favorite.
Okay. What's that one about?
It's The Mystery at the Coral Reef.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what the brother and sister do in that book?
Well, the mystery is someone lost a watch, and they're visiting their aunt and uncle, okay. Their cousin.
And so they have to find the watch?
Who it belongs to.
Oh, they found the watch and they're trying to find who it belongs to. Okay. So when you're reading it, are you trying to solve the mystery in your head too? Is that...
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And what's your favorite character in the book?
Ella.
And so she's the girl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do you like about her?
She has this notebook that her grandpa Harry gave to her for a go-away present.
Okay. And so she's pretty smart and she helps solve the mysteries, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have some younger brothers and sisters? Do you read stories to them?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Do you read part of the Going Somewhere stories to them?
No.
Now, what kind of books do you read to your...
Like Henry and Madge.
Okay. And they like to hear you tell the stories?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so in school, does your teacher read to you in the classroom?
Yeah, we didn't finish Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, okay. Were you enjoying that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about later in the show is what I call classics for kids, so like Little House on the Prairie, and then more modern kind of books. And so do you see any difference between like Little House on the Prairie and the books you like to read?
No.
No? Okay. You don't think that they're a little bit slower, less adventure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see some of that too. So, what's your plan for the summer? Are you going to join the reading program?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have a goal for how many books you want to read?
Three or more.
Okay. And anything else you want to tell us about your favorite books or a book you hope to read?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carly. So let's turn to Haley now. How old are you, Haley?
I'm 9.
So what grade are you going into?
I'm going into 4th grade.
Okay. And you and I met just a few minutes ago, and you were saying that there was a book you had just finished reading and you really enjoyed it.
Yep, it sure was a good book.
Okay, tell us about the book.
Well, my book title is Sisters. It's about two sisters, and at the beginning, they have, like, a little fight, like a food fight, I think. And the sister, after they're done with their plate, she reminds her of the accident. And the accident is once the big sister was younger, she wanted a sister to play with and have fun with and everything like that. And so she asked her mom and dad for a sister, and she, in the bathtub, she wanted a sister, and everywhere else she wanted a sister. And then once her mom had a baby, they were discussing to tell her about the baby, but they didn't know what to do because what if it was a boy? So they told her, and the big sister said, "That better be a boy. I mean, a girl."
Yeah, she wanted a sister.
Yeah. And so it's a really long book, but, mm-hmm. and I forgot what came next after it, but.
So was there a favorite character in the book for you?
I like the two sisters.
So you like both of them?
I like the big sister, and they went on a trip to see their family, and after that, their car broke down, but the dad went on an airplane, so he got there, I think, I don't know, didn't say, but then their mom went out to, like, she put up a thumb up for the car, and then the car came and drove off with her brother, which she had. And then they drove off with the mom and the brother and forgot about the two sisters that were in the van.
Oh boy.
And before that, they had a pet snake, and that pet snake lived in the car. And he came out. They thought he was dead, but he came out. And the big sister was scared of snakes, just like my mom. And it came out, and she was like, the big sister, like, came up above it, and they had a bag, and the little sister was like, "I'm not picking him up," but then she drove the bag underneath and tied him up. And then the mom came back, and said, I'm so sorry. If anything happened to you, I would be so worried, and I'm so sorry. And when I don't remember after that. So that's my story.
Okay. So it sounds like there's some funny parts in your book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the snake and the sister problem.
Right. So is that what you like about it, is that it's kind of a funny book? It makes you laugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah. And so when Carly was talking about mysteries, do you ever read books that are a mystery or an adventure?
I have, but I forget about them.
Okay. And you have a little sister too, right?
Right.
Yeah. So do you read books to your little sister?
No, they like to run around more.
Okay. Yeah, some people don't like to read, and that's part of what we're talking about is, you know, kids who like to read versus kids who don't seem to like to pick up a book, right?
But my grandma in our bed, she would read to us, and my brother would listen, then fall asleep.
Okay, that is a good way to fall asleep. And yeah. Did your teacher read any books to you in school this year?
Yes, she read a book about a little toy who comes alive at night. And the boy, there was a boy in it, and he didn't want to tell the brother and the brothers, he had no sisters, but about it because they would think he was crazy. So, and then in the morning, he wanted to, like, see the little toy, but while he brushes his teeth, but he didn't get to because there was a big food fight in the morning. So then he goes to school and he forgets something. But my teacher didn't get to read at all, so.
Well, and that's what you said too, Carly. So do you think you'll go back and finish reading Little House on the Prairie?
Maybe.
Not sure if you really liked it that much, huh?
Yeah.
And what about you, Haley? Do you think you're going to go back and read about this toy?
Maybe if I can find the book.
Okay, because you don't remember the name of it, huh?
Yeah.
No. I bet if you went in and explained it to the librarian, they could find it for you. Librarians are pretty magical that way.
Okay.
So are you going to do the summer reading program at the library?
Maybe if my mom lets me.
Okay. Well, you can go tell her about it, right?
Right.
Okay, so anything else the two of you would like to say? You both sound very excited about your books. I'm glad you're readers. Anything that you want to tell the listeners?
No.
No? You're all done? Okay.
Not really.
Okay. Thank you so much, girls, for joining me.
You're welcome.
Okay. Our next guest is Roan. So, Roan, how old are you?
I'm 8 years old, going on 9.
And so you're going into what grade?
Third.
Third grade? Okay. And do you want to tell us about one of your favorite books?
I have a couple favorite books. I like Percy Jackson, Artemis Fowl, and Harry Potter.
So you're reading above your grade level, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Way above.
Yeah, a bit above. Okay. So tell me, what do you like about those books?
They're all based on some gods or elves and magical creatures, and I'm really interested in magical creatures and Greek gods and stuff. So what I like about them is they're based on what I like.
Okay. And one of the books that I read for the radio show today is called Rebel, I better look at what the name of it is, Rebel of the Sands. And in that book, there's magical characters too. And so I like that just because it gives you that element of surprise. They can do things that we can't do. And I just find it interesting.
Yeah, me too. I really think it's interesting. And it's all in Percy Jackson, the lightning thief, he gets kicked out of Yancey Academy, and he doesn't know it, but his teacher his Latin teacher is a centaur, and he doesn't know it, and his friend Grover is a half human, half goat, and he doesn't know it until he goes. When he gets kicked out of Yancey Academy, he goes with his mom to the beach, and they stay in a cabin, and they stay overnight, and a storm is brewing outside because Poseidon, his dad, and Zeus are having a giant fight because Zeus thinks Poseidon has stolen the Master Bolt. The Master Bolt is a... It's not really what you think of a lightning bolt. It's not just a streak in the sky. It's a giant sword, basically, and it's very sharp.
Because you like those books, did that lead you to read some other books about mythology to learn more about the different gods?
When I was 6 years old, my mom got a Greek mythology book from the library, and I started to read it, and I just got into all the gods and stuff. That's when I really got into fantastical creatures and stuff like that.
Okay. Now, the other thing with the books that you named, those have all been made into movies, right?
Yes. Well, not Artemis Fowl.
Okay. So with the Percy Jackson and the Harry Potter books, have you watched the movies then too?
No, not yet. Starting on Harry Potter. I'm in the second movie right now.
Okay. And for some people, they don't like the movies because they're just not as good as the books.
That is true, but for me, when I started Harry Potter, I was really scared, and I thought it was going to be really creepy and stuff. But one night, my mom just put it on, and like I started listening to it, and I was like, and she was like, okay, time to go to bed. And I was like, no, can we read more? Can we listen to more? And I was like, she was like, no, we have to go to bed. And I was like, please. And then, she was like, no, we have to go to bed. And I was like, fine. And then I snuck her phone that night, and I was just listening to Harry Potter all night. Ooh. And now I'm on the fifth book.
Okay. So you're listening to them. You're doing the audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I did one of those on audiobook, and it was wonderful because the different voices, it was really,
yeah,
really well done.
The guy that reads them is really well. He can do really well voices.
Mm-hmm. So, Callum, do you want to chime in here at all? You've also read some of these books that Roan's talking about, right?
No, I have not.
None of them?
None.
Okay. Well, he cannot participate.
You really should. They're really good.
Mm-hmm. So do you only read books then about, with, like you said, fantastical characters, or do you read other kinds
of
books?
I read lots of other kinds of books. Sometimes I read stories that are really, really weird, and they're not necessarily magical, but one other book is called Bone, and there's this little white guy, and he has a big nose, and it's kind of like in Pink Panther, but he looks a lot different than Big Nose. And he goes on these adventures with this girl, and some villagers want to kill him, and he has to escape from, like, dragons that are not magical. They just run and fly.
Do you read any books that are nonfiction? Do you know what I mean by that? So they're...
Yeah, J.K. Rowling made these Fantastic Beasts and Dragonology books, and I have the Dragonology book 1, and I have the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and they explain where to find griffins and hippogriffs and dragons and stuff like that.
Okay. Any other kinds of books that you're interested in?
Not really.
Okay.
I mostly like fantastical beasts and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, those are great adventures, right? So once you start reading them, you just get kind of sucked into the story.
Yeah, and I'm really open to any kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a book and I open it, my dad will be like, we have to go, and I'm like, just one more chapter. He's like, fine. And then, like 10 minutes later, we have to go now. No, just one more chapter.
So you probably carry a book with you all the time.
Basically.
Okay. So it sounds like you read at home. So mom and dad read with you?
at night, they read books to me, but usually I just read books to myself.
Okay. And then at school, does your teacher read books to you, or?
No.
Okay.
We go to Front Terrace, and we usually, our teacher just lets go on computers. And I'm like, can I just get a book instead of computers? And she's like, fine. But then I just, like, go to the computer box, and I'm just, like, typing in, like, books, and then I'm just reading them.
Okay. And so you are learning a second language. You're learning Spanish.
Yes, but I don't really know any.
Okay, so I was going to ask if you started reading any books in Spanish yet.
I do read in Spanish, but I understand a lot of Spanish.
So comprehension comes first before necessarily being able to speak it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about some other books, too. And if there's anything you want to add as we talk about some of this stuff, Roan, I'll just invite you to do that.
Okay.
Okay. So for this month, for May, I usually read several young reader and young adult books. And one of the ones that I read was a nonfiction book, and it was hashtag Not Your Princess, Voices of Native American Women. And it was edited by Lisa Charlie Boy and Mary Beth Leatherdale. This was just a beautiful book. It was filled with essays, poems, and artwork. And I just want to just read a little bit of an excerpt from one of the poems, which was The Things We Taught Our Daughters by Helen Knott.
Okay.
Sometimes we taught them silence, to let secrets stay on their lips. Sometimes we taught them to look away, to forget, and not bear witness. We showed them how to play hide-and-seek with historical afflictions, to pretend that the monsters from the closet didn't escape, don't exist, are not real. Do either of you read books that have poetry in them, have artwork in them? Do you have any comments about that?
Well, Artemis Fowl has some nonfiction in it. He kind of works at, well, he's a full-time villain, and he is working with the elves, but he kind of is turning, he notices that he should be on the good side because there's so much more enemies out to get him if he's on the bad side.
Okay. And does it sometimes have poetry in there, too, or?
No, but okay. It has, like, newspapers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And Percy Jackson also has stuff in it that's realistic.
Okay.
But I don't really want to get too much into it, so I'm going to pass it to Cal.
Okay. Cal, tell us what you're reading.
I have read, the book I recently read was Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite interesting. It's a historical fiction novel based in Spain, in a small town in Spain, and it's about an ex-author that wants to destroy his own books because of what he created and what happened to him after he wrote those books. And you read it also.
Say the name of it again.
Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón.
Yes, that's an excellent book. And it was translated from the Spanish room, so you can read it too. So what about that? Because it's kind of intense. There's a lot of twists and turns, a lot of, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. What did you like that? Did you?
It's very difficult for me to keep track of books that have a lot of twists and turns like that. But I found that after I got the first chapter, it was getting really a lot easier to do, and it was getting better and better.
Okay. Callum, are you aware that there's other books in that series? Or
I know that Carlos Ruiz Zafón has written other books, but I haven't read any of them.
Okay, I would recommend all of them because, you know, as much as you like Shadow of the Wind, I would say that the other ones are just as enjoyable.
I will definitely look into it.
Okay. We have another guest who has joined us, Kate from Next Door at Fireside Books. We've asked her to come in and talk about some of the books that are on the shelves for young readers and young adults.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you.
What is it specifically that you guys would like to know about? What kids are coming in and buying?
What are they looking at? What's popular with kids right now?
Oh, my gosh. It's so much fun to have kids come into the store. I just love it when they're excited about reading. And what I've noticed recently is they're really excited about nonfiction. So that's cool. That's kind of a different spin these days. I mean, we also have, of course, people coming in for fiction, and we have a whole new generation of people in love with Harry Potter. Parents are reading it to their kids, which is really fun to witness. But the nonfiction thing is what surprised me. I have kids coming in and wanting to know about who was Walt Disney. There's a series called Who Was, and there's Who Was Walt Disney? What Was the March on Washington? There are all these really great nonfiction history-related series that are coming out for kids, and they're nice. Interested in them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's
well.
Fun
earlier,
too.
Ron was talking about he's in the Harry Potter series right now. He's on number 5.
Yeah, and I'm interested in Percy Jackson and Artemis Fowl. They're fiction books, and they. I'll talk a little more about them later in the show.
Okay.
Those are some of my favorites, too. I really love Artemis Fowl. He's an evil genius.
Yeah, but he's getting better.
Yeah, he does. He's got a heart of gold, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you could relate to him on that. I have not read the Artemis Fowl, so thank you. And those are still popular, right? I mean,
because
those have been out for quite a while.
Yeah,
they've
been out for quite a while. And the same with the Percy Jackson. That author has a new series out that we just got the book 3 of, which is The Trials of Apollo.
Yep.
Those are a lot of fun. Apollo makes Zeus mad, and he gets thrown out of Olympus and into the body of an ugly teenager, which he just can't handle because he's Apollo and he's supposed to be beautiful. So it's very funny.
They're funny books.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yep, and the Magnus Chase series, have you heard about that one?
Not yet.
That's Rick Riordan, too, and it's a Viking lore, which is pretty special. That's fun. I guess I didn't know this before, but if you don't die in battle and you're a Viking, you don't get to go to heaven.
Yeah, you don't.
Dying of old age is, like, bad. You go to the other place if you die of old age.
Valhalla.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay, so what else are kids coming in and picking up?
Lots of stuff. You know, the Rick Riordan's very popular. The illustrated comedies are really, those are great for reluctant readers. The Diary of a Wimpy Kid series, all of those with a little bit of illustration, a little bit of comedy, that seems to really pull kids in. Graphic novels are exploding. We've got some really beautiful graphic novels coming out, and the classics are turning into graphic novels. Like, we have a graphic novel of A Wrinkle in Time, which is super cool.
The Wrinkle in Time is a really good movie. Mm-hmm. It's about a girl, her name's Meg, and her little brother, Charles Waltz, and they go through the wrinkle in time with the witches, and they, it's called a tessera, and they go through the galaxy, and her dad is lost in the it, and the it is basically a darkness spreading into the universe, and it's very powerful, and her dad, he went through the tessera in his lab one night when Meg was born, and they never saw each other again. But then Meg and Charles Ball, she collects a friend named Calvin, and they go with the missus and they try to find Meg's dad. But along the way, They face many challenges. There's this one guy that's like a puppet, and Charles and Calvin are really hungry, so they eat these sandwiches and they turn into sand, and Charles Waltz turns evil with the it, and he. They go into the it, and Meg is like this giant white room. Meg walks up these three-dimensional steps, but you can't see, Calvin and Charles Waltz can't see him, and it's all biography. And Meg goes into the it and basically finds her dad, but Charles Waltz is dragging Calvin and Meg to see the it after they find her dad. And Calvin goes out of the way, he doesn't get pulled. And the dad also doesn't get pulled. And Meg and Charles Walsh go into the it, and Charles Walsh has the it's voice, and he has a scar on him when Meg says "I love you" in the it, because that's the it leaving his body. And the it is basically trying to hurt Meg, but Meg has the power of love, and she is trying to get Charles Walsh back to her actual brother, not in the it's body. And then they go back home, and she has an enemy in the first scenes. It's Veronica. Her name's Veronica, and Meg gets really angry with her, and she throws a basketball at her head, and she gets knocked down, and the principal is really mad with her, and then she just leaves, and that's basically the story.
So, talked about this a little bit before, about some of the elements of that story and what you said about your mom's concern, too. And I don't know if then when you have kids come in, if you kind of warn parents or warn kids that there could be elements of the stories that are kind of frightening or scary.
You know, it kind of depends on the situation. It depends on the parent. I do try and pay attention to what they're interested in. I mean, typically my first question for kids when they come in is, what's your favorite book? Okay. And I kind of go from there. But I don't warn anybody away from reading anything.
Oh, okay.
So books are all good.
Don't scare them off from the scary stuff. Okay.
Don't scare them off. No, read anything. Read Stephen King. Read whatever. Just read.
And you were going to mention, I think, the Battle of the Books. What's on the shelves for
Oh my gosh, I couldn't even go into it. There's so many. But the Battle of the Books program is very exciting, and we have all the lists ready to go and all the books on the shelves. So, yeah, we're ready to go with Battle of the Books.
And from what I've noticed, I've participated in Battle of the Books. I think it was with Callum at his school, because they had adult teams. Mm-hmm. We would go head-to-head with the children's teams, which is challenging because they tend to read the book more than once and have better memories. And then, Rowan, have you ever done Battle of the Books?
No. At our school, we can't compete until third grade.
Okay. So this year you'll be
ready. This year.
Okay.
You'll have to come in because we have all of them.
Right. But it's a great variety of books, right?
It is,
they usually try to include some Alaska book in there, and there's fiction and nonfiction.
Yep, they're very good at choosing. And the big one, I think the hot one this year was Ready Player One, because it became a movie. But it really is a terrific book. And we have some Alaskan authors on there. Tons of stuff. And there's, especially for the little tiny kids, there's a lot of Alaskan picture books, which is fun.
Before you run off, I want to say something about Rebel of the Sands, because that was one of the books that I picked, and I mentioned it to Rowan earlier, because he was talking about how he likes books with fantastical creatures, as you heard his list. Mm-hmm. And so in this book, there's, magical powers that they have because of genies. And it turned out that you had also read the book, Kate.
Yes.
And I come in to get it, and Kate's like, oh, yes, I love that book. So, but what did you like about it?
I liked that it was set in what seemed to be sort of a different environment. You know, there's so much in the way of young adult that's either straight fantasy, swords, dragons, princesses, that kind of thing, and it does get tiresome. So it's really exciting to see stuff that comes out that is a completely new environment and a new kind of magic. And another one I really am enjoying is also an Alaskan author. It's Michael Miller and Adriana Strickland. Is that her last name? They did Shadowrun and Shadow Call, and those are so completely new and different. You know, they're a whole new environment that still pulls in the Alaskan elements of fishing and mining and just having that totally new landscape is really cool. And that's what I enjoyed about Rebel of the Sands.
And the main character in the book, too, is a very strong woman or young girl or whatever.
And we have a lot of that, actually. That's really exciting about the young adult novels these days, too, is there's a lot of strong female characters for girls to read about and get behind.
And they don't just wait for the strong male to come and rescue them.
No, they're leading the stories.
That's right.
That's
they have
cool.
all the power themselves.
That's definitely true of Shadowrun and Shadowcall. She's running the show.
And
character,
those are by
Cole.
Alaska authors?
Yep, those are by Alaskan authors, locals,
okay.
Right here in Palmer.
Well, let's plug them then. Anything else you want to tell us about? Or
No, I'm just really glad I don't sound as nervous as I feel.
You did fine.
Here we go.
Well, that was wonderful for Kate to join us. Did you, either of you, learn about another book that you might want to read?
I definitely might try Shadow Call and the other one. I forgot its name already.
Shadowrun?
Shadowrun.
Okay. How about you, Rowan? Did those sound like fun books?
Yes, they do.
Okay. One of the other books that I read was called The Parker Inheritance, and this is for middle readers, and the author is Varian Johnson. The gist of the book is that there's a letter that's waiting in a book in a box in an attic in an old house in Lambert, South Carolina. It's waiting for Candace Miller, and Candace is the main character in the book. When Candace finds the letter, she isn't sure if she should read it. It's addressed to her grandmother, who left Lambert in shame. She was fired from her job at that time. But the letter describes a young woman, an injustice that happened decades ago, a mystery unfolding the letter writer, and the fortune that awaits the person who solves the puzzle. So with the help of Brandon Jones, the quiet boy across the street, she begins to decipher the clues. The challenge will lead them deep into Lambert's history, full of ugly deeds, forgotten heroes, one great love, and deeper into their own families, with their own unspoken secrets. Can they find the fortune and fulfill the letter's promise before the answers slip into the past yet again? I liked this book, and it was written for, I'd say, 8 to 12-year-olds. And I liked the book because it had two very interesting characters, Candace and Brandon, and their friendship. And even though they're, you know, a boy and a girl who are 12 and 11 years old, it wasn't, you know, supposed to be about like a budding romance. They were just friends, but it brought up a bunch of issues. And it was kind of like the question I asked earlier about scary stuff in books, but it's also about issues in books that have to do with tough conversations. And in this book, it had to do with prejudice. Candace and Brandon are African-Americans, and they're in the South. And there's an incident, for example, in the school where they come out, and the white principal verbally assaults them and says, you know, what are you doing here? And he's suspecting them of, you know, bad behavior. And they had been there to visit a person who worked at the school. So they weren't doing anything wrong. But just because they were African-American, it was suspected that they were doing something wrong. So I'm just wondering if in the books that you boys read, do you ever come across something and you think, I need to talk to somebody about this, or this is disturbing?
Not really.
Some books I do feel that way, but I hardly remember the incident after it happens. But if I do remember, I try to figure it out and go through it in my head and what's wrong with it.
Okay. So in this book, then the other part of what they're talking about, because there's some historical kinds of storytelling where they go back to things that happened in the 50s. And in the 50s, there's a black family that are attacked because of something that happens, and actually run out of town. They leave town for their own safety. And, I mean, that's an ugly part of history, the part of white people attacking African-American people simply because of the color of their skin. And so, I think that when we look at books that are written for children, sometimes we wonder, is this something that, you know, is a good place to tell that story? And is it important that kids come and talk to adults about those things?
I have a feeling that books are a great way to convey certain information if it's too uncomfortable to talk about or if it's just too estranged. So, such as you said, racism in the South, books are a great way to convey that without having a very controversial topic talking about it when you just have it in a book format.
So rather than just saying, son, we're going to sit down and talk about racism, we've got this story, and that's a way to kind of be the vehicle to have that conversation.
Definitely.
Okay. So that's a good point. So have you ever come across anything in a book, Roan, where you thought, I'm going to go talk to mom or dad about this or share this part of the story?
No, but I have a similar I've seen a similar movie to the one you were talking about mm-hmm. There was a letter, but so this little girl, she lived in Candace's called Lost in Oz. It's a story on fiction, and it's based on it's actually based on
the book Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she finds this book because one of her she's in the attic and she finds this diary, but it's not really a diary. It's green, and she opens it, and she finds this. It's all blank, but then she finds this one page, and she gets sucked into the book, and it's like she taps, like, I forget, like, but she taps on some. She taps on, like, a planet, and then she goes there, and it's Oz, and she lands on the Witch of the West just in. Just like in The Wizard of Oz, but she gets lost in Oz, and she has to figure out life there, and there's giant trolls that she has to get past because the trolls and the elves, they have a situation. They agreed on to never lock the tunnels, and they just have to figure it out. And she gets lost with her dog also.
Right. And so that sounds sort of like a mystery, but there's also the fantastical characters in that one, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do like mysteries, and the Parker Inheritance includes that mystery because they only have this letter with some clues, and it involves research and trying to decipher what these clues mean, and then really finding the big, you know, amount of money at the end.
Yeah. So, but she gets back and she tells her mom what she saw. Her mom used to be a star toucher, and it just got too dangerous. But then Alice finds it, and they go back in time. And then, like, there's this evil queen, and they, she's not really evil, but she likes to act evil, and there's another queen that's good, and she tries to get away from that queen, but that evil queen turns herself into the other queen so she can take over the world.
And the books we're talking about, whether it's, you know, a contemporary book or it's science fiction or fantasy, I think there's always this important element of you got your main character who is somebody you're cheering for, right? That you want everything to work out okay for them. And then you've got, like, the bad guy or the you know, the character that's evil or the one that...
Yeah, like Artemis Fowl.
Okay. But the evil genius. Okay. And Shadow of the Wind, you see that too, right, Cal? I mean, there's elements of characters that you're cheering for, and then there's people that you know are the evil.
Very, very much so.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask about is, do you think it's important that a book have a message? So at the end of it, it's like they made this point, or there is a moral to the story.
Yes. There's one in I Survived. It's a history book, but there's this one, it's a kid, he's not actually alive, and he survives through all of these really important wars and stuff like that. One of them is I Survived the Sinking Titanic, and I have I Survived the Great Chicago Fire 1864, and there's also I Survived Gettysburg, the shark attacks of 1862, and there's just all of these really, really good history books.
Okay. And so what do you think is the point of those? Why would they want to tell a story about surviving?
I think it's to increase your level of strategy and your wilderness surroundings.
Okay. And also that if we stick to things or if we, you know, stay strong, we can get through things, right?
Yeah. And the kid is just, he's really scared in the first part of it, and then he just gets through them really well. But in Gettysburg, there's this really, he's a black guy, and he's wearing a suit, and he's in Gettysburg, which is really weird.
Okay. One of the other things I want to talk about is I was just thinking in terms of, you know, how much are young people or are young adults reading? And so I was looking at some research, and there was an article in Forbes in January of 2017 that said the next teens you see engrossed in their phones might not be texting or Snapchatting, but reading a suspense thriller. So I have to admit, oftentimes when I see people holding their phones, I think, oh, they're checking, you know, social media or they're looking at pictures. And I try to remember it's possible that they're reading books, but I often think that they're wasting their time. But now there apparently is an app called Hooked, which is aimed at 13 to 24-year-olds that serves up pulse-pounding stories in the form of SMS conversations. And it launched in 2015, and Hooked has been downloaded nearly 2 million times and recently became the top grossing book app for iOS. It says the milestone comes on the heels of new research showing that millennials lead other generations in reading and still generally prefer print books to ebooks. These data depict a publishing industry in transition, one that modernizing in response to evolving reading habits, but in no danger of succumbing to new digital overlords. So both of you guys are pretty avid readers. When you look at your friends, what do you see? Are they readers?
My friend Jack, he is not really a reader. He's more of a gamer, and I tried to get him into reading. I gave him a Bone book, and he started reading it, and now he's obsessed with Bone.
So you maybe got him started, huh?
Yeah, but he still does a lot of gaming.
Okay. How about you, Cal?
I noticed that at the beginning of sophomore year, which was this year of school, I noticed that my friends were carrying around books, but as the year progressed, they dropped their books and they stopped carrying them around. And I'm just curious at what happened to them, because I also don't really carry around books because I read on my phone. I know, yeah.
But again, I mean, I can get judgmental when I see young people on their phones thinking they're just, you know, like I said, looking at social media or looking at pictures or doing other things, but they could very well be reading a book.
Exactly.
Right. And Rowan, you talked about you listen to your books, audiobooks on the phone.
Yes. I have a house helper. Her name is Alexa. She's pretty cheap, but she can do songs. She can do books. And right now I'm listening to Artemis Fowl and Harry Potter on it. But Percy Jackson, I'm just my mom got it at the high school, I think Palmer High School, at a book sale because it's just really old. And she brought it home one day, and I was like, can we start reading that? And she was like, sure. And now we're on the, 10th chapter, and it's only been, 4 days since we've had it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great way to get introduced to new things. Another article I looked at was in The New Yorker from February of 2016, and this was, it stated, work by the Pew Research Center and other outfits have confirmed the testimony of teachers and parents and the evidence of one's eyes. Few late teenagers are reading many books. A recent summary of studies cited by Common Sense Media indicates that American teenagers are less likely to read for fun at 17 than at 13. The category of reading for fun is itself a little depressing since it divides reading into duty for school and gratification, sitting on a beach towel, as if the two are necessarily opposed. Do either one of you want to comment on when you do reading for school versus when you're reading for your own pleasure?
Not really. You're just reading a book, so it's basically the same.
So when you're reading something that your teacher wants you to read for school, you think that's fun too?
Yeah, it's actually quite fun. She introduces me to things that I've actually never experienced.
So that's a good way for somebody to get you to read something that maybe you wouldn't have selected on your own.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree with Roan right there, where my English teachers invite me to learn more genres and to experience more different types of literature, such as with Lord of the Flies, which we recently finished. I was a little reluctant because I don't really like school reading lists, but as I read Lord of the Flies, I realized, hey, this isn't that bad. School reading lists aren't that bad.
And then, when you're reading a book for school, then you have conversation in your classroom around it, and that can really open up your eyes to things you might have missed or thought about differently.
Very much so.
Okay.
There is another very similar book to what Cal is Lord of the Flies, but in there's a Dogman series. It's called Lord of the Fleas, and I've been enjoying that series.
Okay. And earlier when Kate was in here from the bookstore and she was talking about the animated books.
Graphic novels.
Graphic novels, thank you. Do either of you read those?
Yes. Dogman is actually a graphic novel.
Okay. That's what it sounded like. And Bone is kind of too, right? Or is
yes.
That, okay.
I'm more into like the actual paper pages with words on them, not graphic novels.
Okay.
Yeah, me too, but, I mean, sometimes you can really get into them.
Well, and I've read a couple of them. Yeah, it's nice to, like you said, try new things, experience something a little different.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all. Well, I wanted to bring up one more thing before we're done for the day, and that is new books versus classics for kids. And, you know, when I asked some of the young people that we've had in here about books that their teachers read, teachers will often read classics or like you had to
True.
Read in your class, Callum, Lord of the Flies. Or they'll pick things like Where the Red Fern Grows, Little House on the Prairie. And so have either of you read some of the classics and how do they compare with, you know, more modern
I've
books?
Read some classics, but not much. I think the new novels and, well, since Harry Potter and Percy Jackson are a classic, they went back pretty, they went back into the 19s, and I like those, but I really like the new books a lot.
Okay.
For classical literature, it's very interesting because they often correlate with the times, such as If we look at fiction, I'm going to take 1984 as an example. It was written during the 1940s, which was a huge period of communism. So if you look at 1984, it relates to communism. So other books might relate to political turmoils or social turmoils in the time that it's written.
But then it has a contemporary correlate because you can take that and see how history repeats itself and it still has kind of a fresh conversation that you can have about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll just add that one of the books that I started reading too in mind of today's radio show was Anne of Green Gables. And a friend of mine who is a fifth grade teacher had just finished it, and she just talked about how much she liked going to bed at night because that was the book she was going to pick up, and it was such a comfortable feeling book. It was so soothing and relaxing, and so sometimes I think about the classics in that way, that, you know, when we read them, they're like comfort food. They're like mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so anything else either one of you would like to add to what we've talked about today? Anything that you're just dying to say before?
I'm not really dying to say, but the topic that's going over my head is more novels that are written more recently have more modern twists on them. So, like Ready Player One, that was written very recently and has futuristic viewpoints. So what I'm trying to say is that novels written nowadays tend to focus on the future instead of the past.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
Well, and again, I think that, you know, when we look at some of the science fiction ones or, you know, the end of the world kind of stories, we see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, Roan?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Cal and Roan for hanging out with me today. And then our other guests who stopped by, Carly and Haley and Kate. And we talked about summer reading program, and we talked about books for young adults and young readers. And this is our May classic for what we do. Next month, we will be discussing Caroline, Little House Revisited by Sarah Elizabeth Miller. My guests will be Debbie Fox, who selected the book and admits to being skeptical about the story, and Val Rossi, who has been a fan of the Little House books for years. I will present myself as the cynic in this trio, as I have never read any of the books or watched any of the TV series. I also want to remind listeners that 89.7 is a community radio station that relies on support from listeners like you. So please take the time to visit our website, radiofreepalmer.org, and become a contributing member. This is Judy Getty with Radio Book Club. Happy reading.